News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Hey, going to the phones right now, I am thankful to say that my friend, former state senator Brian Taylor, also a former advisor to two governors and now a practitioner of law in private practice, also a veteran of the war in Iraq, is on the phone. Brian, how you doing, bud?
Hey, doing well, Phil. Good to talk to you again.
Yeah, man. Thank you for calling in. I know, by the way, and I said to the audience earlier, but I'll say it again, you've got something going on with a family member, and if something comes up, you may have to jump off the phone, and I respect that. You just let us know, okay?
I appreciate it. Will do.
All right. Well, listen, man, we just had Joel Blankenship on. I assume by now you know Joel Blankenship. He's one of the attorneys
for... I've known Joel for a while, and it's a small group of Republican attorneys that... that work in Republican Party politics, and sometimes we go up against each other, and sometimes we help each other, and sometimes we're just friends. But Joel is a good guy.
Well, so apparently Joel had an opportunity to depose. Now, you've got two cases. Let me back up. You've got two election challenges, one for Kimberly Butler, House District 2, the other one for the single voter in Lee County, who I believe Joel said he just deposed the other day. Is that right?
He did. She's a voter who was whose ballot was rejected because the state failed to process her voter registration in time, and as a result, they did not accept her vote. And so, I've been representing her and making sure her vote gets counted.
So I want to ask you about both, because there's some confusion back and forth. We're in a primary. We're not in a general election. What is on the the party's plate right now to decide between your two clients, Kimberly Butler and by the way, what's the lady's name in Lee County so I can call her by the right name? What's her name?
Miss Kenny, Patty Kennedy.
Thank you. All right. So you've got Miss Kenny and you've got
Patty
and
Kenny. I always want to say Kennedy. It's Kenny.
Okay, Patsy Kenny. All right. So you've got Miss Kenny, one client in Lee County. You've got Kimberly Butler, a candidate for office in House
That's
District
right.
2. What of those two challenges falls upon the party for determination, and what goes to the courts?
Well, let's start with the House District 2 race. That one's unique. You know, there are several election contests going on right now before the party coming out of the primary. And the one in House District 2 is unique because there's not a declared nominee yet to be contested. My client, Kimberly Butler, lost the primary, came in third place by just 14 votes to Jason Black, who then advanced to the primary and advanced to the runoff, and he lost the runoff just now. So my client, Ms. Butler, will be filing a contest that the runoff should have been between her and Ben Harrison. And so the party will have to hear that contest before Mr. Harrison could be certified as the nominee.
Okay.
And we think that the evidence is going to be pretty clear that she actually was the second highest vote getter and should have been the one to advance to the runoff in that race.
All right. So if the party agrees with your position, does the party then have to request that a new runoff election take place between Butler and Harrison?
Well, we certainly think that's what should happen, and that's what the statutes provide. In this particular case, the statutes say when the executive committee of the party cannot make a determination at the conclusion of the election contest as to who the lawful, rightful winner is, they should order a new election. And in this particular case, since Kimberly Butler never had a runoff against Ben Harrison, that's going to be our argument, is that that statute controls and she deserves a bite at the apple there, if you will, to be in a runoff campaign with Ben Harrison for the nomination. And so we will be asking the party to consider granting a new runoff in that case.
And so your right of appeal from the party's decision making then goes to the circuit court. Is that right?
Well, I believe it would go to the Supreme Court. Actually,
wow.
When the party is hearing an election contest in the fashion that it's sitting in right now, it's actually clothed with the authority of a circuit court. And for those who aren't familiar with the state's legal system, as you know, Phil, the circuit court is the trial court, the basic trial court in the state. And so the party, in hearing these election contests, is empowered as a circuit court to hear this. Why did the statutes do that? Well, the case law has always said that party nominations are largely a matter of internal party procedures, and parties can decide who they want their nominees to be based on the rules that they've adopted. So in these particular cases, the courts defer greatly to the party to resolve these disputes prior to the general election. But, you know, there's always the possibility that that the party could do something that results in one candidate or another filing an appeal to the Supreme Court.
Wow. Okay. So even though your situation in technically both cases you've got was a registrar or a state employee issue messing up the registration, you're still all in on the party being the deciding body that has to act on this issue.
Well, I think that the case law is pretty clear that that the courts, that the jurisdiction is in the party once the party begins to meet. Of course, in our case, in House District 2, it won't meet until after the runoff votes are tabulated and Ben Harrison is declared to be the nominee. Then then her case is ripe, if you will, to be filed to challenge the naming of him as the nominee. Some other cases are going before the party, as you probably just discussed with Joel, this Saturday. And those hearings, once the party convenes, they'll be sitting as the court and they'll have jurisdiction over those cases. Now, prior to the hearing on Saturday, in representing the voter, Ms. Kinney, we did file a request for an order in the circuit court to have the sheriff deliver her ballot and the documents that go with it, the provisional ballot that she voted, to Birmingham to be considered by the party. And so far, the judge in that case has not issued a ruling. But I think the party, nonetheless, is probably going to subpoena those documents. And so I hope her vote will get up to Birmingham one way or the other, either by order of the circuit court that we filed our petition in or by order of the executive committee of the party.
Well, and that leads me to my other question. So your Ms. Kinney's situation being a single voter disenfranchised, not the candidate herself, but an elector, she is also basically at the mercy of the party to make a decision. And then if they don't like if y'all don't like the decision, is your appeal also to the Supreme Court for that one?
Well, we'll have to see what happens. At this point, she's doing everything that she can to make sure that her provisional ballot is delivered to the party. Once the party makes its decision, whether they count her ballot or not, we'll have to evaluate where we are and what recourse she may have. There is some concern about the ability after the fact to come back and have her vote included. And so that's why we're fighting so hard on the front end in all the venues that we can to make sure we get her provisional ballot delivered to the party for consideration.
Well, I mean, this is a crazy case. And you know, I'm sitting here looking on a case that I had to rely on in a general election challenge that I had as an attorney. Eubanks v. Hale, and it literally says that in the event, and by the way, if everybody listening hear this, if Ms. Kinney's vote is determined to count, then it becomes a tie, because at that point, she's saying she cast her vote for Tom Whatley. I guess that would have to be verified, but she cast her vote for Tom Whatley, and he then is tied with Jay Hovey. In a general election sense, I've got a case, Eubanks v. Hale from 1999, that literally says the court would then have to declare that it must go to a new election. What happens in this case if they're tied and the party is considering things from the primary level?
Well, the statute says if there's a tie vote, then the executive committee gets to decide by vote of the committee who the Republican Party's nominee will be. So
wow.
At that point, if her vote is counted and included, as we believe it should be, barring the introduction of any other evidence calling other votes into question, it would be a tie vote, and then the candidates would have to prevail on the executive committee to choose them to be the nominee of the party.
Is the executive committee going to have an even or odd number? I mean, is it possible the executive committee could tie? Or is it going to be an uneven number?
Yeah, that's a Joel Blankenship question. I don't know that.
Well, you know, I had Joel on here, and he told me the statute, again, sort of like what you did, and I thought I should have asked that question.
The point I was making, the point you made earlier, you know, my representation of Ms. Kinney is to make sure that a voter's vote is counted. She registered to vote. She went to the driver's license office. She did everything she was supposed to do. And the case law out there across the country is replete that when a voter is not registered through no fault of their own, their vote is due to be considered, to be counted. And so regardless, I would be arguing the same thing for Ms. Kinney, regardless of who she cast her vote for, because our point is her vote needs to be counted.
Well, and that actually is part of the findings from that same case of Eubanks v. Hale. It says a person will not be disenfranchised as to his or her right as an elector when he has made an honest effort to comply with the law, and in that effort has substantially complied with all the statutory mandates. All right, brother. Well, I look forward to hearing how this comes out, because you are in the thick of two very unique races. I've never heard of somebody challenging the right to be in a runoff, and I've never heard of anybody being the one person who says, you didn't count my vote and I could change everything. That's crazy doings, and there you are in both of them.
Well, they said this back in Bush v. Gore, and they've said it in other cases since then. Every vote counts, and it's so true. You just never know which election it's going to count in, but eventually one will pop up where it's close like this. And if we're not vigilant about making sure we're standing up for people's most fundamental right to vote and to have their vote counted, then we start to lose our democracy. So we're going to keep putting the pressure on to have her vote considered on Saturday and see what the executive committee does with it.
All right, man. Well, listen, keep me posted, and best of luck to you.
All right. Thank you, Phil.
All right. Thank you. All right. I'm so glad Brian made it on, because he and Joel, they have laid it out pretty clear as to how this works. And the primary is far more nuanced than what you have in a general election. In the primary, so much of it does indeed fall upon the state party. Going to be very interesting to see if Jay Hovey won that election with a lot of Democrat help, apparently legal, but yet Democrats. And then they come on with one vote spread difference. And one Republican lady says, you forgot to count my vote. And if she's right, if they believe it, it changes potentially everything in that election. Oh, wow. Yeah, I tell you what, I said earlier, parenting's messy. Voting's messy sometimes. All right, Copper, take us to a break. We will do that right now and be right back, sort of wrap this section up. And folks, I'm telling you, every vote counts. And if you have not learned that, listen to this show the last few weeks. Wow, where have you been? All right, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back.